Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1852. We're actually getting to a new topic. I'm just going to title it In Depth for now. And the title of today's podcast is Don't Discount the Basics. Why I decided to make this new topic. I've had people request podcast to be longer. Now, this is interesting in the sense to where over the years of doing the podcast, so it's 1,852 of these things, that's over 5 years of podcasts. I've had people who loved the podcast that are under 10 minutes, people that think 20 minutes is great, and then some people like longer ones. Now, you look at the most famous and popular podcasts out there in the world now, they're upwards of like 3+ hours. It's interesting, well, it's not surprising, it wasn't surprising to me, that in all the variants of human beings there is, that there would be a variance of preferences for podcast lengths. So I've tended to lean harder into the 10 to 20 minute time frame, because that's kind of like a single day digestible amount of information. I liked it because for the people who wanted more details, there was enough detail in there. But then the people who didn't want to feel overwhelmed, it was short enough that, you know, it didn't get into that too long to listen to in one day or too many elements being covered in one podcast. It seemed to be a good blend. But I have had some more requests recently to do some longer podcasts. So I figured I'd take my time and do a little bit of a longer one today. See what everybody thinks, and then we'll kind of adapt and adjust from there. The in-depth podcasts, I'm planning as of right now to have these come out on Mondays, so that way people can listen to them through the week if they want to, or if they don't like the longer one, they can just go right the next day into our regular like 10 to 20 minute scheduled ones. The idea of the Monday is that the most common time in which people listen to podcasts is actually during commutes. Like commute to work. So people like that because they can start it on Monday, start in the morning, listen to it more in the afternoon, go the whole week, you know, kind of expand it out and spread it out throughout the week if they want to. This is also something I do is I tend to use quote-unquote downtimes where I'm physically busy but not mentally busy to listen to audiobooks, podcasts, things like that. I do mine while cooking, doing the dishes, cleaning, doing other chores. I was actually the other day mowing the grass in the front yard, and I had a headphone, an earpiece in my left ear, and then nothing in my right ear, so I could hear if, you know, anything chaotic or craziness was happening. But I was mowing for a while, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got a tap on my left shoulder that scared the crap out of me. Because I was by nothing. There should have been nothing to the left of me. And all of a sudden, I get this tap on the shoulder. And my neighbor was there. And I looked startled. He said, oh, I didn't mean to scare you. I was waving and waving and waving, and you didn't seem to see me. So I told him, I said, well, not to make you feel bad, so you don't have to apologize. But I'm actually blind in my left eye, so I didn't see you. His immediate response was, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh, you didn't have to apologize. It's like, you didn't make me blind. But that's why I couldn't see him. And it was funny because he said he and the other neighbor were like waving to me. So this neighbor that tapped me on the shoulder, I've met him before a couple times, but the other neighbor I had not. And the other neighbor was waving and waving and waving. And he said to the neighbor I had met more, he said, man, that guy's kind of rude. He hasn't even waved back. And the neighbor who met me before defended me, which was very nice. And he said he told the other guy, he's like, hey, he's actually a really nice guy. You know, maybe he's just not seeing this. Maybe he's kind of off in his own world. So they chatted for a little bit. And I guess after the conversation, the neighbor who knew me came over and wanted to check and see how I was doing. So he found out that I wasn't, you know, purposely ignoring them. I wouldn't put it past me, but I wasn't. So he told me he defended me, and it was nice. So I'll have to go over and say hello to the other neighbor. But that's usually when I am listening to audiobooks, podcasts, and stuff is during those physically busy but not mentally busy type of activities. Now, with today's topic, what I wanted to start with the topic of don't discount the basics was because the people who wanted the longer podcasts wanted me to go more in depth in nuanced topics. So, for example, one of the requests was hot and cold therapies for recovery. What's interesting was the person who requested that, I know that they don't eat well. So they don't eat properly. They overtrain. They lift really heavy. They don't do any of their warm-up stuff. They don't do any small muscle stuff. So they lift way too heavy all the time. They eat like crap. And here they are asking me a question about like cold therapies. Now, that person I have given crap to before, so they're going to listen to this and say, geez, a whiz, what the hell? They won't be surprised, though, because I actually told them when they suggested it to me, I said, how's your nutrition been? Have you been counting your calories? And they said, just give me the damn podcast. So we were going back and forth. But I know they don't eat well. I know they don't train properly. So I was mad at them in the sense, I'm like, don't ask me to make a freaking podcast about cold therapies when you're not doing the most basic things right. So since this person requests longer podcasts, they're likely going to want to listen to this since it's the first longer podcast. But I also wanted to send a message that was helpful for them, but also what I believed to be universally true for most people. Most people often talk about wanting to be their best. So they want to get stronger, be bigger, be leaner, whatever it is. You know, I mean, better in relationships, better at your job, better in finances. We want to be the best, right? We want to be our best. And we think in order to be our best, we have to do best things. Big things, bold things, grand things. People think bigger is better when it comes to what we have to do in order to be our best. But I wanted to share some client success stories that show the basics is actually what makes us our best. We want big things to be the answer. But it's overwhelmingly not the answer. It's the small stuff. The tedious, boring crap that we already know we should be doing every day. That we don't do consistently. That's the stuff that's holding us back. Maybe you eat really well. Maybe you train routinely. But you don't put in the small therapies. You don't do extra work outside of the training. You only lift the exercises you like. You don't do the small, tedious crap that you don't enjoy. Like, we might be putting in a lot of good efforts in a lot of good places. But we're missing those few little things. And most often, we already know what they are. So when people are wanting to start a new grand habit, some big, amazing habit that's going to help them accomplish something big and amazing, I've given the advice in the past and I've learned and heard from others who are smarter than me, and they all say the same thing, and exactly what I tell people is to start small. If you want to accomplish something big, do small things. Pick one small action, be consistent, and then build from there. People often skip the small. They go all or nothing. They go big. They think go bigger, get bigger, right? Whatever the goal might be, you might actually want to be bigger, but maybe you want to lose more body fat. So the bigger effort I do, the more body fat I'll lose. The bigger effort I do, the stronger I'll get. The bigger effort, the bigger result that I will get. But what happens is we go big. We can't be consistent. We experience setbacks and failures. We lose motivation. And we quit. Big ideas lead to big changes. But the change ultimate that we want, the ultimate result, doesn't come from big things. It comes from the small, basic efforts. One of my clients, Jared, I've posted about him before. He's a physical therapist and a ridiculously good powerlifter. Golly. Amazing powerlifter. Now, when we started working together back in 2017, he was actually contemplating quitting heavy lifting. He had this groin and like hip issue that would constantly flare up anytime he was trying to go heavy. And he would get away with it for a little bit, and then it would flare back up, and he'd have to pull back out of the heavy lifting. Anytime he tried to push and be stubborn, it would just hurt worse and worse and worse. So in 2017, he almost quit heavy lifting. But fast forward to now, 6 years later, he has an elite total. He actually has an international elite total. Less than 1% of competitive powerlifters achieve that goal. He has a 500-plus DOTS, which is a scoring system that they use in powerlifting. Less than 1% of competitive powerlifters have that, for damn sure. And he's on the edge of doing a 10 times body weight total, which, again, is less than 1%. So 6 years ago, he almost quit lifting. Fast forward 6 years, and he's in the top 1% of all lifters ever. What was the difference? What took him from persistent pain, almost quitting, to now being within the top 1%? Was it something big? Was it a grand, enormous effort? Something he had to grind through, but it came out on the other side, and now it's amazing. What was it? Was it a movie montage? That's what we think of. We think, yeah, I'm going to have to put in some work, but it's going to be 30 minutes, there's going to be some good music, and then I'm going to be awesome. We think of achieving big things as a movie montage. Yes, I understand I have to do work, but it'll be short. It'll be a lot of work in a very short amount of time. And then I'm going to be amazing. And I can just go back to doing whatever the hell it was I was doing before. That's how we think we're going to be successful. And it's anything but that. It is the complete opposite of that. What makes you successful are the basics. What made Jared successful was the basics. We've worked together to talk about nutrition. He never ate enough, which is surprising because he's a very he weighs around 155 in our off-season training, and then he competes at 148. Not a big person in terms of weight, but he's solid muscle, good God, all muscle, and he's a very active person. So he has to eat a lot of food, but believe it or not, he wasn't even eating enough. He thought he was eating a lot, but it wasn't enough. So we had to work on calories. We had to work on protein. And then we talked about the timing of his food as best as we could. You know, eat some in the morning before you get busy. Eat during the day while you're busy. You know, make sure you get really good food right before your workouts. And then make sure you eat enough to recover overnight. So we talk about calories, protein, and timing. That's it. That's literally what we track for him to be in the top 1% of all powerlifters. We do talk about, would carbs be better at this meal or would fats be better at this meal? But we don't have any percentage that he has to do every day. He doesn't have to eat, 50% carbohydrates and 30% fats or anything like that. He just eats carbohydrates right before he's most active because they digest quickly. He eats more fats around times he's not as active, say right before he goes to bed. So that way his protein digests slowly through his bloodstream throughout the night. So we do talk about it, but there's no fixed percentage. There's no fixed types of foods. I don't care if he has rice or potatoes for carbs. I don't care if he has nuts or oils for fats. We want to eat like healthy food. I don't want him to eat a whole sleeve of Oreos. That's probably not going to be the best option. But if he does that once a week, who cares? That's fine. But that's literally all that we need for someone to be in the top 1% of powerlifting. calories, protein, and timing. Eat carbs before you're most active because that way you can digest faster and you don't get sick. Eat fats at other times, that way it digests slower and kind of better slowly releases the protein in your bloodstream. But there's no percentages, there's no specific foods. It's not like, you know, basmati rice is better than jasmine rice. Or basmati rice and jasmine rice are better than brown rice. There are times in which, for certain clients and certain people, that jasmine rice and basmati rice are better. But if somebody really loves brown rice, can we make that work? Sure. If they really love brown rice, are they completely insane? Absolutely. No one likes brown rice. It's horrible. But the point is they can eat whatever they want. I've helped people get ready for aesthetic competitions. I've helped people get IFBB Pro cards, natural Pro cards, and I could care less what type of rice they ate or if they wanted rice versus white potato. That's fine. Wouldn't make any difference for me. There are some nuances we have to get into towards the very tippy-top end of like the process. But overwhelmingly, what matters in nutrition are the basics. Calories, protein, and timing. Then we looked at sleep. We said, hey, you know, get as much sleep as you can. And then of whatever sleep you can get, try to get the best quality. Try to have a good, you know, room temperature so you're not too hot. Maybe put a light sheet over your skin so that way the skin has like a dulled sense to it. So if there's a little weird air draft or something moving, it doesn't wake up your skin and wake up your nervous system. So there's a couple things we can do with sleep quality. Try to get into a more consistent routine. Try to go to bed at the same time every night. You might not always be able to get up at the same time. So I know Jared has some early morning shifts and some little bit of chaos to his schedule, but he makes it work. So we just try to sleep as much as we can, as consistently as we can. You know, maybe the client will take some melatonin to try to get help, like get sleepy at the same time every night. But really, it's just consistency. It's if I start getting into bed every night at 10, I'm going to fall asleep eventually between 10 and 10:30. I just have to be consistent with it. Then we look at training. You have to push yourself to a challenge in each workout. Give your body some motivation to change. So push your body to a challenge. But we don't want to push past what we can do with correct technique. We want to challenge the body, but we don't want to destroy the body. For all of my powerlifting clients, every single one that I've helped get in the top 50, elite totals, all the good stuff, we don't do regular deloads. We don't take every fifth week off from lifting weights. I'm not going to waste, you know, a week, a month of making amazing progress. So we do wave intensities. We just kind of change our programming every 4 weeks, and that helps us modulate the intensity in the programming so they never get overly strained, but they're never just understrained and wasting time. We've talked about that recently in podcast 1846. So it's a training podcast titled Controlling Program Intensity, Wave Concept. So you can listen to that if you want. But that's what it is in training. Push yourself to a challenge, but stay with clear, crisp, clean technique. We want to challenge the body, but we don't want to destroy it. And we do the basics. We do movement prep. We work on ensuring we have full, good quality, available range of motion. Then we do our bigger, kind of heavier, like lift of the day. And then we do accessories that help build the weak movements or weak muscles in that bigger exercise. That's it. Movement prep, strength movement, accessories. The basics. That's what we do for Jared to allow him to be in the top 1% of powerlifters. For nutrition, we track calories, protein, and we pay attention to timing. Sleep, we just try to get as however much we can and the best quality that we can. Training, we challenge the body, but we stay with clean technique. We challenge the body, but we don't destroy the body. Every workout, we do some kind of movement prep work. We do a strength movement, heaviest thing for the day. And then we do the lighter things to help build that heavy thing. Strength movement, and then accessories. The basics do need to be done correctly. So there's a wrong way to set this up. But once they're done correctly, the key is that they have to be done consistently. It's not big efforts that lead to big results. It's consistent small efforts performed correctly, as correctly as you know how to do now, while you also still try to learn more on how you can do better. The basics done consistently, correctly, and with intentional refinement. That's how you can do big, amazing things. I have another client, Natalie. She goes by just Nat. She had a disc herniation in her lower spine. So she was having lower back pain and kind of like hip-based pain when she was doing heavy squats. Her career is in CrossFit. That is her world. Now, we started working together 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, actually, because she was having so much pain that she thought she was going to have to stop doing CrossFit. That's her career. That's how she makes money. That's her passion. That's her love, is getting to do CrossFit, getting to lift weights. She was on the edge of having to quit. Not only just doing a hobby, but her career. But when we started to work together, we addressed the issues, and now she's pain-free and can max out squats and deadlifts without us having any worries. All while she still gets to do her crazy CrossFit stuff. That's a huge change. That's a big change. To go from persistent pain on the edge of having to quit not only a hobby and a passion, but a lifestyle, her job, but now she's pain-free. That is a big change. But was it from a big effort, a movie montage? You know, did we have to grind really freaking hard for a couple months and then everything was solved and she got to go back to doing everything she ever wanted? No. We had to make that change through the basics. Again, with nutrition, we have a calorie range. She aims for a certain range of calories every day. We have a protein minimum that we try to hit. And then it's timing, and making sure she's eating something or drinking something, consuming some kind of calories before she trains. I don't like her doing fasted training with especially that style of training. So we get something in before she works out. And since it's pretty early, she works out in the morning, we're going to focus mostly on carbohydrates because we want them to come into our body and be able to be used. So we're going to focus on carbohydrates. And then when she's active the rest of the day, teaching classes and doing things, we're probably going to stay with more carbohydrates than fats. And then as the day winds down, as her daily activities wind down, we're probably going to lean more into fats to slow down the digestion of the protein. So that way it's a slower kind of trickle into the bloodstream to help with recovery while she's sleeping. So it's calories, protein, timing, and then carbs when carbs are best and fats when fats are best. But there's no percentage. There's no specific food she has to eat. Does this sound familiar? I hope it does, because it's exactly what I do with Jared. It's exactly what I do with 99.99999% of the clients I work with. Who is that 0.0001%? People with nutritional conditions and disorders. Then sometimes we have to change the rules a little bit. They might have some kind of digestive issue, you know, some kind of disease, something we have to modify. But 99.99999% of clients, it's the same damn things all the time. It's the basics. Calories, protein, timing. There is no specific percentage of carbohydrates and fats you have to eat. There's no best foods. It's just trying not to eat ice cream and pizza every meal. It's probably not going to make you feel your best. Don't eat fried everything. So eat what you would believe to be generally healthy foods. Sleep. Nat sleeps as much as she can, and then however much she can, we try to get good quality of sleep. Make sure it's a consistent routine as much as we can, even though she has to travel sometimes. Training, it's the basics. We challenge the body, but we don't destroy the body. Every workout, we start with movement prep. We do something to kind of warm up and work on shoulder mobility, hip mobility, activate the core, challenge the core. So that way we're always developing core strength. So it's movement prep, then the big heaviest lift for the day, and then the accessories. She made big change. From going to being in pain so much that you would have to quit your job and quit your passion, to now being completely pain-free. That's a big change. What made the change? The basics. Done consistently, correctly, and with intentional refinement. We're consistently refining what we do to make it the best for her in that moment. Every 4 weeks, I change all my clients' training programs. Sometimes I have to change them, you know, sooner depending on situations. But every once in a while, I'll have somebody do something longer if they need to build confidence or whatnot. But 4 weeks is the absolute overwhelming typical rotation of exercises. But that's what we do. It's just the basics. That is amazing. She's a badass. She's crushing life, getting to do what she loves for work. I mean, hell, isn't that a win? That's probably in the top 1%. Like Jared's in the top 1% of powerlifters, Nat's in the top 1% of life. You know, how many people get to do what they love for a living? And she was almost going to lose that. We'll go with one more example. And in this example, I'm going to use my mom. She had never lifted weights until she was 47 years old. We started to address restless leg syndrome. Turns out she really enjoyed lifting weights. She liked the idea of having some muscles because it reminded her of her dad. Her dad ran a sawmill and had some pretty good guns back in the day. And he used to tell me stories about carrying around potato sacks and all this other craziness. But she liked the muscles. She thought it was fun. It reminded her of her dad. But then she decided, well, I kind of want to do something with this. I like lifting weights, but what am I going to do with it? So we decided to do a bodybuilding show. She did her first bodybuilding show at 50 years old. Didn't touch a weight till she was 47. I think she played high school basketball for like 1 year and then didn't work out till she was 47. Now, she was active. She ran a daycare, so you're running around after 6 to 8 little kids every day. You're going to definitely be active. But there was no regimented exercise till she was 47. We did our first bodybuilding show at 50 years old. Then we did two more. I think at 51 and then like 54 years old. She still loved lifting, so she wanted to try something new, so we tried powerlifting. Since then, she's done 10 powerlifting meets, and she has 2 elite totals. Again, less than 1% of people earn 1, and she has 2. That's insane. So at the age of 47, she started lifting weights. Ended up competing in 3 bodybuilding shows and 10 powerlifting meets. Can you imagine that? You're 47 years old, you have restless leg syndrome, and you wonder if you're ever going to get good quality of sleep for the rest of your life. 47 is still damn young when you talk about the rest of your life. To have to spend the rest of your life dealing with something, that's a long damn time from 47. So at 47, never worked out, having sleep quality issues, thinking this is what my life is going to be. And she said no. That's it. I'm changing it. I'm making a difference. Ended up competing in 3 bodybuilding shows, 10 powerlifting meets. She has achieved amazing things. It's estimated that around 1% of people who train regularly with weights actually compete in aesthetic competitions. And less than 1% earn elite totals. So she has 2 elite totals and she's competed. She's done 3 things that less than 1% of people do. That's pretty big. That is big change. But again, what allowed her to do that? The basics. If you look at my mom's nutrition, she has a calorie range, a protein minimum, and a general concept of timing. Eat before you're active, eat while you're active, eat a little less when you're less active. Sleep. Sleep as much as you can, and then of that, get the best quality of sleep that you can. Training. Challenge your body, but don't destroy your body. You start every workout with movement prep, some kind of heaviest lift for the day, even if it's bodybuilding. and then related exercises that we typically would call accessories. But even when we did bodybuilding, it was the same thing. We prepared the body to move for the day. That's movement preparation. Then we would do the most heaviest aggressive thing for the day, and then we would do lighter weighted but still maximally intensible, maximum intensity things that were related. So maybe we would do like movement preparation, shoulder mobility, core strength, hip mobility. Then maybe we do some craziness on squats. Then we do leg press and walking lunges. Let's say that. We would do that every time, all the time. Not those exact exercises, but it was movement prep, the strength-based lift, the heaviest lift, and then the accessories, the related exercises. The basics done consistently, correctly, and with intentional refinement. People want big results. And I've helped people earn big results. Drug-tested and non-tested pro cards, elite totals. I've helped Olympic athletes, professional athletes. I've helped trainers and models who make a living based on the way they look. And the list goes on. You can actually go on our website, www.brutalirongym.com, and on the first page is a list of the different types of clients that I work with. I have clients in over 7 countries. Over half of my clients are personal trainers, and I've helped an incredible wide range of types of clients. How have I been able to do that? The basics. I've helped people do big things. But all of those big things were achieved by the basics. What separates the big things that you want to achieve from where you are right now? You think it's going to take some big effort. Some effort that's beyond you right now. It's typically the perceived or actual real size of the challenge and our ability to be consistent that separates us from where we are now from where we want to be. How can we solve that? How can we address those issues so we can accomplish the big things? It's by starting small. Humble yourself to start small. If I told you I want you to be within a 1,000 calorie range every day, some of you do that already, no problem. Some of you who said, like, if you don't, you'd be like, well, that's insane. Like, you know, you want me to eat anywhere between, say, 1,200 calories and 2,200 calories, depending on your body size. Maybe it's 1,500 to 2,500. So there's a 1,000 calorie range. And you might think to yourself, well, that's pretty damn easy. I could do that. What else can I do? Well, did you do it yet? If you haven't done it yet, you haven't done it. Don't think something's too small for you. If I wanted you to eat 100 grams of protein every day for 14 days, think you could do that? So 1,000 calorie window, 100 grams of protein, try to keep your sugars under 100 a day. If you can do that, you're already doing damn near what enough is for most people to reach their goals. Because most people aren't even that consistent. What if I told you I wanted you to train twice a week with weights? Again, for some of you, easy, done, already doing it. Others, that's actually a huge challenge. But you might think, twice a week, what is that really going to do? That's not going to do anything. Well, it's going to do better than what you're doing now if you're not doing that. If you're currently training 0 times a week, 2 is going to be pretty damn good. Now, what if you're training, like, what if your nutrition is good? You have calories consistent, protein consistent, your timing is consistent, you're eating carbs when you're more active, you're eating fats when you're less active, you're training consistently, your sleep is okay, because that's probably where most people really are. Then what is the difference? It's still not something big. It's not take a bunch of steroids and everything will be better. Not take this next supplement, this fat burner supplement, and all of a sudden I'll lose 30 pounds. Chances are, if you think you're doing those things well, track your consistency. You might not be as consistent as you think. If you're not literally tracking your nutrition to find out your calories, grams of protein, and grams of sugars every single day, you don't know how consistent you are. Be humble. Don't say, oh, I eat pretty healthy. I know I'm doing good. Do you literally know? What are the numbers? So now I've had people tell me, I'm like, do you eat 150 grams of protein every day? And they're like, yeah. I said, well, have you ever tracked it? And they said, no. I said, well, then how the hell, why'd you say yes? If I ask if you're eating 150 grams of protein and you say yes, how did you know that? You just believed it to be true, but you didn't have proof. And that's a thing that's pretty damn easy to prove. Just freaking track it. Humble yourself. You are not too big to do the small things. Think about training. I train regularly. I lift heavy all the time. Yeah, but do you do glute bridges? Do you do planks? Do you do hip stretches? Do you do thoracic mobility movements? Do you even prepare your body to move, or do you just walk in, do heavy shit, and then wonder why you feel like shit? Humble yourself to do the small things. You are not too big to do the small things. The reason why we want to do the small things is because we can be consistent with small things. That's the key. There was a statistic I listened to in an argument. These two people were talking about the effectiveness of diets. And someone said that of everyone who's ever been tested for diets or done like research articles, and they've been subjects and blah, 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 blah in research, they said it's an estimated about 98% of people gain the weight back. That is directly related to their lack of ability to be consistent with whatever caused them to lose the weight in the first place. If you cannot be consistent, you will not be successful. If you cannot be consistent, you will not be successful. Starting small ensures consistency. If you think you're too cool for school and you're too big to do the small things, you're going to continue to be exactly where you are. Nothing will change if you don't change. If you think you're too big for the small things, you're going to stay exactly the same or get worse. Golly. You want to think, what can you do every day that moves you one step forward? One step. That's all we're looking for, one step. On days you can take more steps, do it. Absolutely. But never allow yourself to miss a step. If you do, get to stepping as quickly as you can. Get back on track as quick as you can. Don't discredit the basics. If you want to do big things, make big changes, crush big goals, it doesn't come from big efforts. There is no movie montage in real life. If you've noticed, everywhere you've ever gone, there has not been a soundtrack that has followed you. Wouldn't that be cool if it was, though? That would be really awesome. But there is no soundtrack to life. There is no movie montage. Doing big things comes from small efforts performed correctly, consistently, and with intentional refinement. You can be your best self, just like the clients I mentioned today. Just like anyone you see on social media, whoever the hell you see that has what you want. What you're seeing is their best version of themselves so far. And that's what I want for you. Even though I get grumpy in these things and I talk smack on everybody and get mad and judge everyone, I do want you to be successful. I really do. I'm just passionate, and maybe I don't show it the right way all the time. But I really want that for you. You're seeing people at their best. I want you to be at your best. I would love for you to see what your best self can do. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you want to do big things, it doesn't come from big efforts. It comes from small efforts performed consistently. It comes from the basics. Ask yourself these three questions. What can I do consistently? Do I know how to do it correctly, or at least correctly enough that I can see a positive change from it? And how can I continue to learn more so I can continue to refine what I do? Those are the questions. What can I do consistently? Do I know it well enough to get positive change from it? And then how will I continue to learn more so I can continue to refine what I do? That's how we become our best self. The basics performed correctly, consistently, and with intentional refinement. I want you to achieve big things. But I don't want you to discount the basics. The basics are how you achieve those big things. One step at a time, one day at a time, one small task at a time. I wish you the best of luck. I really, really, really hope that you take this to heart. And before you search out the next big thing you have to do, just double check that you're doing the things you already know. Make sure you're doing those well before you worry about what the next thing would be. That will be the foundation of everything that you're going to build from. The foundation has to be solid for you to create something big. Okay? If you need anything, if you have any struggles, if you have any questions, if you have any troubles, just reach out. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Right now I'm offering free 15-minute consultations. If you want to talk with me, tell me what your goals are, what your struggles are, I'll answer it and give you some ideas on what we could do if you want to work together. You can sign up for that on our website on the 101 services page, or you can just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like these longer episode styles, let me know. And I'll make these again, like I said, once a week. We'll dive into some fun topics. I won't be a grump and talk about the basics every time. But we can do some deeper ones. We can do some longer ones if people would find that interesting. So if you do like that idea, just shoot me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. Maybe send me a message on our social media. I check Instagram every day, so you can just shoot me a message on Instagram. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, just let me know that you like it, and we'll continue to build on it from there. Okay, if you like the podcast, share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. If you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.